Welcome to our podcast about conscious living and finding your own path in today's rapidly changing society. We are Yindi and Lavinia, and this is Slow the F Down.
And the world finally slowed the F down. We have been saying it all along. Yes, yes, yes. We've been making this podcast for almost a year now, but this has been our clear message from the start. And yeah, we actually are pretty happy that everyone on Earth is currently being forced to slow down. Of course, this crisis is very extreme, intense, and sad in many ways. But in this episode today, we want to focus on what the coronavirus is teaching us, how it is having a positive effect on the planet, and we also want to share a higher perspective on why all of this is happening and why it is actually a pivotal point in human history that we can use to change our ways and change the entire system we are living in. So in that sense, it's very exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, let's start. Where should we start?
Well, you have been quite busy with like the spiritual perspective, I think. So maybe you could share maybe what the spiritual teachers have been sharing online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and your own take, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been following a lot. I mean, I always follow them, but like, yeah, the message has been so clear with everyone, and everyone's actually saying like, this is a time that we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for like this like kind of like big world event, for something to happen that affects the entire world and kind of forces people to look at their lives. And I think that's like such a clear thing that's happening.
The pandemic is of course affecting almost every country on the earth, so
yeah, exactly. And with people being forced to stay inside and some people can't go to work. It's such a big change for so many people. And I think it can show them like how they are normally living, and also show them, I think that's a big thing, show them like what is actually important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because a lot of people have been living at a very high pace.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at my own life, there was this meme that said, when quarantine is actually my normal daily life, or something like that. And that gave me so much peace, because I was like, yeah, what actually changes in my life when I look at it? And yeah, I can still go to work. I can still be at home. I can still do groceries. So for me it didn't change a lot.
Exactly.
But a lot of people live up to meeting with friends or having drinks at the bar or going to the theater or to the movies. Mm-hmm. And those are all things that you have to put on hold right now, and people are actually struggling. They miss it so much. But on the other hand, you see a lot of people doing jigsaw puzzles and being creative, painting, and yeah, so that's actually nice to see that people are actually doing other things.
Yeah, exactly. Like for me, it was the same. That meme made me laugh so much. I was like, wasn't it like when you find out your normal daily lifestyle is called quarantine?
Yeah, something like that.
That was it. And oh my God, I was just like, yep, that's me. Yeah. I do go outside, but the places I go to, like I can still go to the supermarket and out into the forest.
Yeah. So, oh, didn't you think it was funny that here in the Netherlands people were fleeing off to the nature and to the beach, and that those places got crowded, and it was like, okay, normally you don't go there all at once, and now it's like, yeah, we don't have enough nature in the Netherlands to make sure everyone can enjoy it.
That's so true. We don't actually. It's so small here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but that's so true. But I think it's a good thing that people are going there. But then again, like, if it's big groups again, then it doesn't help.
No, and if they don't keep their distance.
Yeah, exactly. So that's definitely what I'm trying to do anyways. I don't have to try that much because I was already living like this.
Yeah, but like going on your own to the supermarket or going on your own for a walk or maybe with another person. But like, why do people have to be in groups all the time?
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Yeah. And also that they just fail the marshmallow test. Like you have to postpone your pleasure to make sure that you can benefit from it in the end. And people are like, no, I'm entitled to do what I want. I want to go outside. People are failing to stay inside. That's so weird.
I think that's so symbolic of how people don't want to look at their own inside, you know? Like, this is, of course, like, forcing them to, like, get bored, I guess. And, like, because I think the most people who want to go outside, do stuff with friends all the time, do it as a distraction as well.
Yeah.
And to just, just to distract and from their own, from themselves, from their own feelings, you know, all of that. And I feel like this is such a good moment to actually look at all those things. And I think that's why it's, that's a really positive thing. Yeah. But yeah, you were asking about my perspective. A big thing is also that this is showing that so many people live in fear. And I think fear has been a huge contributing factor to all of this. And some people actually call fear the virus, like the fear is the actual virus.
Oh, yeah.
Because
because fear, if you have stress, it lowers your immune system. So it makes you more susceptible to the virus.
And in the beginning, I was very skeptical. About this whole thing, because I was just like, oh, they're just trying to make us all afraid and blah, blah, blah. I didn't see how big and serious it was at first either. But I do think they used fear so much to make it worse. In the media, And it lowers your immune system and therefore, you are more susceptible. So I think that that's a big thing why it spread so quickly.
Yeah, I think so. But also, if you look at your own life and your own contact with other people, how am I going to say this? Like, if you look at the media a lot, you shouldn't forget how your actual reality is. And that not all the things that they talk about are applicable to your own situation. So, of course, you should be careful and you should do social distancing and wash your hands and all the precautions. But you shouldn't fear too much, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because you do create your own reality. And that's something I think for a lot of people that is a bit of a bitter pill to swallow because it means responsibility for everything. But I also like what I've learned is like you're not necessarily responsible for the specific physical manifestation. So it's not like, oh, you get ill, it's your own fault, you know? It's not like, it's not about blame, but you are responsible for your own energy. And energy is what creates your reality. So if you are constantly full of fear and being in victim mode and all of that, then that's the kind of energy that would attract something like a virus. And I know that this is something that some people won't want to hear.
They think it's bullshit, but I don't know. But also with like being very egocentric and thinking, oh, I don't care if I get sick, but of course you can spread the virus to people who are vulnerable or who are who are old, and they can get really sick.
I think
so. Some people forget that.
And I think that's such an important lesson right now, that to realize how connected we all are and that you need to care about your fellow humans as well, and not just about yourself. So I think that's such a big lesson. And I think it's really interesting that it's showing us how connected we all are, because suddenly this is something that concerns everyone. And that hasn't happened for, I don't know, a really long time, ever. I don't even know.
Yeah.
And also in this time that we are so connected through the internet, we know what's going on in other countries. And I think we're more aware than ever that we are a species, you know, we are one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're one. And yeah, it's just important to actually care for each other in this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're desperately trying to stay connected, even if we have to stay home.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah. It's and great. there's so many other ways, like, through, like, because we, thank God, we have the internet. Mm-hmm. We can stay connected. And I think that's a good thing if we use that as well. And on the other hand, I just think it's good that we actually take this time to reflect and to look at, like, because also it's showing, like, what jobs in society are actually, like, vital and, like, yeah, useful, like, needed in this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, that's such a big realization as well, to see that, like, nurses and, like, all the jobs that really matter. And I think a lot of people that, like, maybe are working from home or don't have to go to their jobs, maybe some people will realize, like, oh, maybe this is not, I don't know.
Maybe I don't really matter.
Yeah, like, I'm not their job, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We've talked about bullshit jobs before, but like, yeah.
It becomes clear which jobs are bullshit and which aren't. No, but like, I can understand because the people who stock the shelves in the supermarket, mm-hmm, are mostly teenagers, but it becomes clear that they are actually very important to make sure that we have enough products in the supermarket.
Yeah, totally. Like, jobs like that, and like the garbage men and the nurses and doctors and what else?
Yeah, also the food bank. I also heard that the food banks were closed, but of course a lot of people are dependent on the food bank.
Yeah.
So also because many people were hoarding in the supermarket, the food banks didn't get enough products, but also because the people working at food bank didn't want to work anymore for their own safety. So other people were setting up other places to pick up food, you know, to help the people who are in need. But it really makes clear how vulnerable some people are. And especially, with food, but also with work, when their income just completely disappears. Mm-hmm. And it makes you think maybe it's time to, what do you call it?
Change the system.
Start the basic income. That's
yes, absolutely.
So when something happens, you always have like this basis that you can rely on. And you have enough time to help people who are in need because you have enough income to buy groceries for yourself and to support yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think this, because of course how the effect that it's having on so many people's jobs, this could very well lead to an economic crisis, right?
Yeah, it actually is already.
Yeah,
all the things that they have to do for the entrepreneurs and the businesses to keep them alive and to make sure that the economy doesn't crash, like all that money is suddenly here and they're gonna use it to help the entrepreneurs and the businesses. But maybe if we had a basic income before that, we didn't have to.
Yeah, it would make it a lot easier. But I think this whole system that we have was bound to crash at some point, like like with banks just like creating money out of thin air. That shouldn't be allowed. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. That when I first found out about it, I was like, the fuck, like, how is this okay? How is this not on the news that a bank just can click a little button on their computer and be like, create 20 million out of nothing? How can you do that? Like, you know.
Oh, I wasn't aware that that's actually what happened.
It was in a episode of Tegenlicht, Dutch series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just like a documentary series. And this person was just going to people who worked like with banks, or was it banks? Yeah. and they were just showing it, and I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, what is happening? Yeah. Yeah, so the structures as they are don't work anymore when there's a crisis like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just too fragile.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it shows so clearly, that I mean, like you said, like the food bank, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I looked it up. It's called the food bank.
Okay. yeah. That yeah. Like those people just, and that's what's always the case currently. Like the most vulnerable people always are affected the most, you know?
Yeah, it's also about privilege, I think.
Yeah,
that definitely. If you have the means to hoard toilet paper or other products in the supermarket, not everyone has enough money to make sure they have loads of stock in their home. And they really depend on the little money that they have every week.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. I think it's so, so selfish as well that people just like hoard that kind of stuff. Like, okay, get some extra supplies, but nothing like, don't be so greedy.
It's not like you're eating more, but they're afraid that the shops will close, of course.
Yeah, I get that. Like, but you don't have to get more than, like, just be reasonable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I don't know. It does feel very apocalyptic, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what are you gonna do with loads of toilet paper?
Yeah, I mean, like, what's
you're
the worst?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you don't have toilet paper anymore, you just go in the shower after your toilet or whatever.
Yeah.
Or use a paper or some leaves, or I don't even know.
Leaves, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I definitely care more about food than toilet paper. Like,
same. Food is everything.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this whole thing is bringing a lot of awareness that we need to collectively look at, because I think it is a reflection of the collective consciousness and how much fear there was in that and how much people were not being present and were just so fast paced and constantly running. And I think people do realize now what's actually important, like their loved ones and their health.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it also forces you to live in the now, in the present. And yeah, because the future is, of course, uncertain, but it's always uncertain. So, but now it's definitely uncertain because you don't know when you can leave your house in a normal way. So that's also very... Yeah, I think a good thing.
Yeah, that's a really
good
thing.
Do not want to control everything.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's why it's so important to actually take this time and make it into something valuable and useful for yourself. Because, like, you can't do anything about it anyway. Like, you can take all the precautions and, of course, people who work in hospitals and everything, they're so important right now, and they do the work. But for the people that can't do that and have to stay home, I think the best you can do is just make the most out of it.
Yeah.
Because there's no point in just sitting in fear and worrying about, like, the world ending or whatever, because it's our own decision as well. It's like, it's our own decision how we choose to handle this and how we choose to see this and how we choose to change our ways, because it's also making clear, like, what changes on the planet when the whole of humanity is slowing down.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I also had a moment of fear, but then I was like, yeah, I think I should just see what happens, like, in my daily life, you know, just look from day to day. And I still can go to work because I work at a bookshop, and apparently we are vital because people come to us for their books and their newspaper and also arts and craft supplies, you know.
Yeah.
And puzzles, a lot of puzzles. but I was thinking, like, yeah, should I actually take a risk and just go to work? So I was wondering about that yesterday, but then I was like, yeah, I'm taking precautions, I'm keeping my distance, so I think I'll be okay, and I hope I don't get it and spread it to vulnerable people. So that made me a little worried, but now I'm actually okay.
Yeah, because of course you see a lot of people when you work there.
And people are very reckless with the precautions. And I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe I'm the only person you see in a day, but I see hundreds of customers, you know.
Yeah.
So keep your distance. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think so many people were not really taking it seriously yet. And
some people are taking it too seriously. So that's really, yeah. It's a weird time.
It's very weird, yeah.
But now they're saying, like, you can have a birthday party in the Netherlands. This is, you can have a birthday party, but only up to 3 guests. And you have to leave a 1.5 meter distance between each other. So if you can do that at your house, then it's okay. And like, yeah, maybe just don't take the risk, you know. Is it that important? You can celebrate your birthday another time. I mean,
yeah.
Of course, for children, it's a little hard because they really enjoy their birthday parties. But
yeah, it's so weird, isn't it? It really changes everyone's complete like lifestyle.
But they're also throwing like fuck Corona parties.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Because they don't take it serious.
Because they don't care.
I think teenagers or, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they don't care that much about their life...
Yeah, but other people's lives, you know, it's so selfish.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Well, this is like about consciousness as well, being conscious of like your influence on others and on yourself, on your own reality. Like you choose all of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah, it's very important to become aware of other people and use this time to actually connect, but not physically.
Yeah. Do you have any more spiritual, because you sent me the video by Michael Rogerson. I thought that was a really good video. He was talking about, it's very exciting, it's not a destruction but a destructuralization. I thought that was very, very clever.
Yeah, so he really shared the bigger perspective of all this, and I could go into that if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
You also watched Brandon Bozar's video, right?
Yeah. But I didn't really... I don't think I can recall every detail.
No, exactly, because he talked about so much.
Yeah, it really struck me, but I don't think I can rephrase it. So maybe you can share something about it.
Well, I can share a little bit more in depth about like... what it means like living in a holographic reality, because that's like the perspective that they are sharing from the idea of, well, wow, this is getting big, but like, so like you have creation, which you can call God or source, and this whole universe was created so that he or it could experience itself, and that's what we are all doing. It's the fact that we live in this holographic reality, and that actually like 99.9999% of all the physical things are not actually physical, they're energy. So like I can show you now, like this is how Brandon explains it. Like I perceive that I'm touching this bottle, but actually it's only like one, like 0.1, I don't even know, percent physical.
Yeah.
The only reason that it is because I perceive it. So we, like our consciousness is like the projector, like in a movie.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is a screen.
Yeah.
And there was another thing to this that I need to say. Do you know, do you know this research that of these like atoms and electrons, and if you look at them, they behave differently than when they are not observed.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, there's been a research for that. It has a name. I don't know the name. But that basically proves that physical things change when they are observed or not, which basically means that the observer creates the physical reality. Yeah,
that's also what Michael was saying, that the reality is a reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very literal. Like, people mm-hmm. think that that's a metaphor, but it's actually like real.
Yeah.
And there is like a lot of like scientific research about this as well. Like, I'm currently reading Joe Dispenza, and he's doing a lot of research on all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there is also like a whole book about the holographic universe or something. But that's the way, that's how they're explaining it. And that's how literal it is, that you create your own reality. And then there's like the concept of time, and that everything is happening at once. So yeah, we experience linear time with past and future and present. But in the bigger perspective of it all, there's only the present.
Yeah.
There's only this now moment. And within that, there's like infinite amounts of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you can call timelines, so different options of reality, basically. Yeah, wow, there is so much to this.
But the different options of reality are taking place at the same time, right?
Yeah. Everything is taking place within the now moment, basically. So with your consciousness, you can tune into different options.
Yeah,
because everything's frequency.
Yeah, that's what Mike also said. It's like a radio. You can't see the different channels, but you can tune into them.
Yeah, exactly. So people are experiencing the world very differently as well. Mm-hmm. So all these people that are in fear, they experience a reality where, I don't know, maybe the world goes to shit, you know,
mm-hmm.
and everything is bad. And then if you tune into the possibility that this is actually the perfect opportunity to shift into what many people call New mm-hmm. Earth, which is a much more loving society and honest and equal and a clean world and mm-hmm. so much better. Like, if you tune into that, then you will perceive that reality.
Does it also work like collectively if a lot of people tune into the positive outcome of this coronavirus crisis? Does that influence like the outcome, the future?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. But then it's still like you do have a choice, you know, to mm-hmm. how you experience it all. So there might be people who are just so stuck in their ways that they cannot at all see this. But what I've also learned is like, so you have like different frequencies. Like, love is a very high frequency mm-hmm. and fear is very low.
Mm-hmm.
And because love is like so many times higher than fear, you only need like a small percentage of the population to choose that reality and be that and be of that frequency to actually change the whole thing. Because it has so much more influence, because love is such a much more powerful frequency than fear.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to grasp this, but like, but what happens if like a lot of people stay in that negative, in the low vibration, low frequency?
Well,
does that only affect themselves, like their own perspective, or does it affect like the reality?
It does affect the reality, because that's why the world has been the way it is up until now.
Because people act out of fear, yeah.
Yeah, we have had a very fear-based society so far.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people are becoming more aware of their consciousness and their own power. And there's enough people now that have that awareness to create this shift. So even the people that are still living in fear are, well, you can see it now, being forced to look at themselves and are being forced like out of their old ways. And some people might want to hang on, and some people might see the light and
let it go.
Yeah, let it go and choose new ways.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the way that I see it. And that's what he's talking about with its destructuralization.
Yeah.
It is really an expansion of consciousness for everyone. Yeah, and we can change the structures, like you said, like create a basic income and a new financial system and all the systems. So
yeah, it's really letting go of control. But like, if you change your perspective, it can only help you. Fear doesn't help you. So even if you think, if you're a bit skeptical, or if you think it's hard to believe, you should give it a try, and it will only benefit you, I think.
Yeah, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah, go with the flow. Yeah,
yeah, you have nothing to lose if you want, if you choose love over fear, because fear isn't getting you anywhere.
But why do you think it's so hard for most people?
Well, some people just become so
aware.
Aren't aware of. They become so comfortable in the fear because they think that that's the way that they can have control.
Yeah.
And so if I'm only fearful enough, if I only worry about this enough, if I only think about all the negative things that can happen enough, then I can control it. But that's not true.
How does that relate with like the media and the governments trying to control the people, like to stay inside? And maybe some people are like tuning in and thinking in a positive way and maybe going outside and
Well, I think, you know, you can control your own reality and you can think like, okay, I won't get it, I'm not scared, like I can go outside and that will work for you. But I think that's still not being considerate towards other people, because you don't know. I think Brandon explained this as well. You don't know what other people believe about themselves, and you can like believe enough that you won't get it and think from love, but yeah, you don't consider someone else, and it's still pretty selfish. So I think it's a good thing that people need to stay inside. Yeah.
And do you think you have to try to convince other people, or maybe try to open the conversation about not being in fear and being positive about it?
Yeah, I think so. Because what does being in fear help?
And what would you say to someone who's actually very scared about this situation?
I would say just look at your emotion and feel that emotion and don't judge it. Like, it's okay, you know? We all feel fear sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, it's just an energy. It's just a feeling. And it's okay to feel it, but you don't have to
act upon it.
Yeah, and you don't have to stay stuck in it. So just feel the feeling and just ask yourself, like, why am I so afraid? Like, am I afraid that I'm going to die? Am I afraid that my loved ones are going to die? Which is, of course, something that so many people are afraid of. Like, I felt that too. I felt like, oh, what if someone I love gets it, you know? Like, that's horrible, of course. But then again, for me personally, I would come back to a perspective that things happen the way they need to, and also that we are energy, so we can never die. Like, energy never goes anywhere. It moves or it transforms.
It changes.
And that's what I believe. And so I think
that's what I also wanted to ask about. Like, there's a lot of people dying. How can you be positive when there's so much chaos and so much hurt? And
it is very sad. And of course. But then again, I'm like, but there's always a lot of people dying.
Yeah.
Because I also saw some video, like, still, like, numbers from people from dying that would die of cancer were so much bigger than this. It's of course, like, equally sad. But then again, I'm like, I know that it's horrible to lose a loved one, but I think death in general is not necessarily sad because it's not the end. That's just how I look at it. But of course, like, practically, it is really difficult, and it is really chaotic and
But you can never control it, right? You can never prevent it from happening.
No, you never know. You never know what's going to happen because someone can always die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's also what my dad said. He was like, yeah, the worst thing that can happen is you die. Okay. And I was like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But
of course, it's very hard for the people in the hospitals who have to work to help everyone and to, yeah, give them, a decent, you know, what do you call it? Decent death. No.
Yeah.
Humane death.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Like, it's crazy right now. And I also think that's such a clear reflection of, like, how our society doesn't appreciate those kind of people enough.
Yeah.
I think they should be valued so much more because people who take care, who work in caretaking, is that even what
nursing
and care, like who care for people at home as well,
caretakers.
This is where we struggle. Healthcare, who work in healthcare, like generally,
yeah,
they're so undervalued and underpaid and everything. And it's so important, like we can clearly see now, like how important they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very, yeah. I think that's a good thing that we're seeing that, and I respect them so much for the work that they do.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Should we move on to more positive effects that we wanted to discuss?
Yeah, let's talk about the effect on the pollution.
Yeah, the sky has been clear blue for the past couple of days.
Yeah,
no cloud, no trail from the airplanes.
I feel like Mother Earth is happy.
Yeah. But like when you are outside and the sun is shining on your skin and it's just like when the first cases of corona were in the Netherlands and we had to stay home the first couple of days, I was just bathing in the sun and was like, oh my god, I feel so good. And just working in a garden and I was like, oh, I needed this, but because it was the first nice day after the winter and it's regenerated me.
Me too. Oh my god. Like these past few days I've just been like on my balcony in the sun, and I also did a little bit of planting, like repotted my plants, and it was seriously the most calming thing in the world.
I love it.
It the connection with nature and like gardening is I felt so serene and so present.
It was
really wonderful.
Feeling present is really
it's the key. It's like the key to everything. Because when you're present, like I think we actually have this quote, don't we? When you're present, solutions will come to you, and that's so true.
And you don't have to, you can't worry about the future.
Yeah, you're just here. And that's when inspiration can come in, and when you can use your imagination to think of like more beautiful future. And, you know, I just think this is so like important that we notice now that there's less pollution in China, that the waters in Venice were clear and the animals were coming back there.
I also wanted to talk about like the cause of the spread of this virus, because of course in a vegan community it is talked about, but in the news you don't really hear about it, that of course it started at an animal trade market in Wuhan in China. And it was just an accident waiting to happen, like Bill Gates predicted it. And there's also on Netflix a series called Pandemic, which was actually released before this really spread all over the world.
Really?
So it's nothing new. And also in the Netherlands, you have a lot of animal, viruses that are derived from animals. And of course, you had SARS and MERS and all that kind of viruses. But they start from animals. So it's like the way we treat animals and the large scale in which we produce meat, produce animal protein. It just has to change. It just, preferably has to stop, but like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just very dangerous for our health and for the animals. And it's just unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it also has to do, of course, with the inequality of the food production. Mm-hmm. That people are actually eating bats and animals that they shouldn't be eating because, yeah, they have a lot of viruses. So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just another way that we're being shown, like, where we are not acting from mm-hmm. a place of love, because the way we treat those animals is horrible.
Yeah. Just domination. Yeah, it's so that's what I wanted to discuss, like, mm-hmm. but also what veganism is about. It's just, yeah, being in harmony with all living things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think it's beautiful the way that veganism has really become so much more popular, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's got so much to do with that consciousness of, like, knowing that you want to be in harmony with all living beings.
It's definitely not only a diet. I think that a lot of people, when they ask me about that I eat a vegan diet, plant-based diet,
mm-hmm.
it's not really... Yeah, of course it's about that because that's how you act on it, but it's actually from a deeper value that you value all living things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's definitely where we're moving towards. And I don't really eat meat anymore either. Hardly any fish. I still can't let go of cheese. I know it's really, I know that is selfish. But I'm trying to move towards that, because I do feel like being vegan, or at least like a big percentage, most percentage of what you eat, be vegan. I feel like that is definitely something that really resonates with me too.
Yeah. Well, you had this insight that you were saying, thank you for your meal.
Mm-hmm.
That you was very conscious about what was in your meal. And I thought that was very inspiring. So,
yeah.
If you have like these moments of consciousness, that's great, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I still don't do that every day, but I should really, like, with every meal, like, consider like the whole process that's gone before it. Like the farmer who planted your oats. Or do they? Yeah. Do they plant oats?
Yeah. No, I think it's very valuable that you are conscious about it then. Like, if you are very strict on a plant-based diet and, that it's becoming, very, what do you call it, restricting diet instead of an approach of consciousness.
So, yeah, and I try to, I mean, I eat a lot of vegan things. Like, I look for vegan things to put on my sandwich all the time. And like the vegan bacon, I love it. So good.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that. But sometimes I do eat dairy or eggs.
Yeah.
But I still don't eat like huge amounts, like, ever. No. So
Yeah,
I think that's important for everyone to kind of maybe like move towards that a little bit more. And even if you let go of, just more things, it's already a good step.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very healing also. I made like a carrot apple ginger juice because I thought, that will help my immune system. I think it's good to have some vitamins, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just feel my body being thankful for that juice. So regenerating and refreshing. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah,
it's so nice. It's such a good time as well to like listen to our bodies and just give ourselves some extra rest and just relaxation.
Because
that helps to heal so much as well. Like, just relaxing. I think that's like the biggest, like, resting and relaxing is the best thing to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are being forced to do that right now. So let's just do it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's not fight it, but just accept, like, but, and that's the thing, like, with all these people dying, like, you can be sad about it, but it's happening. So you need to accept it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You can't,
because you have to suffer from the grief, you know.
Yeah, you can do everything you can,
but
and then that's it. Like, you can only do your best to make a contribution in a positive way. So so have we discussed everything, or let me just see. Oh, maybe we can share some things that are good to do at home.
Yeah.
Do you have some things?
Wash your hands.
Yes, wash your hands, people. Duh.
Yeah. Just try to stay at home. And if you want to go for a walk in nature, that's okay. But please just keep your distance. And don't meet up with other people, because of course they can meet up with other people and then you are spreading it if you have the virus. So just don't do it. Just stay at home. And just use this time to read or to play video games or to... I was actually painting on Saturday evening. I was like, I haven't painted in like years. So I painted a flower.
Wow.
Yeah.
I painted a flower. Oh yeah, I was painting yesterday too. It's so nice, so calming. Yeah, just do creative things like drawing, a little bit of singing and dancing, yoga.
Yeah, but like people are sharing so much on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, you don't do this in your daily life or daily week? Weekly daily life? Week. Like, how do people spend their free time? I think mostly meeting with other people and going to the theater and have other people entertain them. But maybe you should try to entertain yourself.
Yeah, good
and
point.
And to connect with yourself and your creative side. And like,
Yeah, that's a perfect time to do that now. And that will open up so much for people, because I think that's such a like a nourishing thing to do for yourself. It's such a self-loving thing to do, to just...
Definitely.
Yeah, and it brings you in the present. Like, that's the best thing about it.
Yeah.
I think being creative, doing things with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And like gardening, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's time to put the seeds in the pots and let them grow, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go and do that. Get some new soil and some seeds. And oh, I'm so excited.
Albert Heijn should come up with the moustaches again so we can go gardening.
Right. I don't know if they're... Weren't they not going to do that anymore? I thought that they maybe were...
I don't know. But now's a good time.
Exactly. Like, that's
like
a good activity.
Maybe we should explain this to our listeners. Like, in a supermarket in the Netherlands, they had like... you can get like a little pot with a seed and all different seeds. And you can collect them and then plant them. So with like €10 for groceries, you get like one seed pot, I think.
Yeah,
it was so cool.
Such a cute initiative. I really love it.
Yeah,
I love collecting them. I always got the same ones, though, the ones that I didn't want. I had like 3 carrots, and I don't eat carrots because I'm a little bit allergic to them. But and I always wanted strawberries, and I never got the strawberries.
Oh fuck! Yeah.
But yeah, so I think we gave a well-rounded image. No, that's not a word I'm looking for. A well-rounded perspective.
Yeah.
We went really deep. I mean, I hope that was understandable for people.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I hope so. So yeah, like to round it off, let's just use this time for good. Like, let's use it to create positive change, to show your own creativity, to help others emotionally, mentally, reach out to people that might be lonely.
Yeah. Definitely.
Share your gifts, like just, like even online, like we can do all of this online and just share what you have to say to the world. And
or play music for other people.
Yeah. Definitely. And let's just use this time to actually connect as humanity and choose a better option for the reality that we want to live in.
Yeah. Isn't it funny like that, like music and all the creative things are very valuable at this time, when like the need for money, how do you call it? The need for money, doesn't disappear, because a lot of people are losing their jobs and they are worried about that. But if they didn't worry about that, maybe life could be like how it is now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Like, it doesn't all
have to be about
that. A constant
state of, yeah.
of just presence and creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's what like a new financial system could do for us.
Mm-hmm.
So much more freedom, so much more time to be creative and rest and slow down.
Mm-hmm. And not be in fear of earning enough money.
Yeah, that's definitely what we're... Well, that's the reality I'm choosing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do we want to do our inspiration section?
Yeah, maybe. Well, these are all things I already talked about in previous episodes, but maybe I can repeat them.
Yeah.
For the Dutch people, the book by Rutger Bregman, De Meeste Mensen Deugen. It will be translated in English and the title is Humankind, but it will be published on the 2nd of June, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to wait for that so you can't read it during this crisis.
But you can read his other book.
Yeah.
Utopia for Realists.
Utopia for Realists. Yeah, that's already in English. But this book was, yeah, really about when there's a crisis, people are actually helping each other. And it isn't that they are fighting and that it's all chaos. So it's really applicable to the current situation. So, yeah, I thought that was really good. Also for the Dutch people, follow Nienke Terling. She was a guest in our podcast, our first guest in our podcast. And she shares a lot of very... great insights when it comes to the coronavirus crisis, and she also did a meditation, and very, very great woman. Mm-hmm. And also I did the Wim Hof method a couple of times, like the breathing, not mm-hmm. the cold shower, because you should really be careful with the cold showers, because if you have the virus, your body is already trying to fight off the virus. So if it also has to warm yourself because you're making yourself cold, that's not going to help. So like the breath work is very helpful.
Mm, yeah, that boosts the immune system.
Yeah, so amazing. Those are my tips. Yeah,
some people that I would recommend listening to, Brandon Bozarth. He has videos on Instagram and on Facebook about all of this, very clear perspective. It's what I've explained in this episode, but if you want to just hear it again, listen to him. And then the guy that we mentioned... his name Michael Rogerson, right?
Yeah.
He's also on Instagram and Facebook. Also very nice video. And I would also recommend listening to Heather, Activation Vibration.
Mm-hmm.
She also has some really good videos about this on YouTube, if you want the bigger perspective. So
yeah,
that's mine.
Yeah, we should share those videos in our Facebook group. So people can look at them.
Yeah, guys, join our Facebook group. It's still a little bit quiet in there, but we want to communicate with you guys. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah. It's in our link in bio on our Instagram. So because it's a private group, but you can find it in the link in bio on our Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also meant for you guys to connect and to be able to give each other advice or ask for advice. And so we hope that we're going to create a little bit of more of a community there.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So please join.
All right. So thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram at SlowTheFDownPodcast. And of course, share it on your social media or tell your friends and family. And just stay safe and don't let the fear win. Definitely stay positive.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. And until next time.
Bye.
Bye.